里，若为能得金刚须菩提树，依他们故住者，满地罗汉尼亚多耶弥。
三界
皆当作戒，诸南无常住佛土，当地净土。大吉取诸人一别，多南无诸佛，遍知三界诸佛来说。
三界皆当作戒，诸南无
常住佛土，当地净土。大吉取诸人一别，多南无诸佛，遍知三界诸佛来说。
三界
皆当作戒，诸南无常住佛土，当地净土。大吉取诸人一别，多南无诸佛，遍知三界诸佛来说。
文老师，马家那给他当年被升级他们就就听到他说那那没关杨大伯做被升级就公报那么就今天就到不下过铁道不了下雨铁道那被缺了么就升级被各种升级级升级这些升级功能三不能行。
Let me remind all of ourselves to cultivate the altruistic motivationseeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. With that kind of bodhicitta motivation that we should all participate in this teaching.
Well, I'm going to talk to you about any
I feel it is important for all of us to have interest in the study and practice of Dharma or spirituality, and also feel the importance of cultivating or practicing Dharma.
अने लिप्पे छो कंडे चीन नया और कंडे चीन नया ता घरां सोगो गुई औरेस अत तुझे सामान लोने छेड़ दुमने यंगुई और मातो ये ता सॉन्ग के बोला सो बत निक थोनी यंगुई आमरेस.
So the reasons why we need to have interest in and cultivate spirituality or dharma is because the goodness and the best of everything that we seek must come through spirituality or Dharma. We cannot expect the kind of happiness that we are seeking to come through worldly activities such as doing business.
好了，大家这个男人个，俺们说面对别人去用干的经验呢呀，俺们小王的等闲，他面对别人干的经验呢，俺们赚的会啊嘛，他面对人真他没不做过，他没不做呀，他确实同你做过了嘛，都如果不能说，但他做也没不得，他缺不得。
And we also don't want any kind of unwanted pains and problems.Never did we want them in the past, nor do we want them in the present, or never ever we want them in the future as well. So that being the case, so what can really help us to get rid of unwanted pains and problems for good is nothing else except cultivating Dharma or spirituality.We cannot do that through any conventional or worldly activities. There's no way that worldly activities that we mostly engage in can help us to get rid of suffering, pains and problems for good. So there, it is like absolutely, true that we need Dharma to be able to do that.
That's the point that we have to do with Kei Chimbres.
So what I'm trying to say here is that it is, you know, essential for us to abandon negativities, negative karmas, and to cultivate positive karmas and virtuous actions. And so at the moment we have got you know, the seeds to do those things in our mind. So we find it really difficult to go into really very sort of a deep thoughts and analysis. Let's consider just this much thought or thinking to appreciate our present existence and opportunities that we have to do positive things. The fact that we are not in any of the three unfortunate states of rebirth. We are not in the hell. We are not in the hungry ghost world called Pratas world. We are not in the lesser kind of animal world. And which means basically that in those states of existence, not only that, the beings experience all kinds of suffering and tremendous suffering, but they do not really find an opportunity to practice spirituality or Dharma. So the fact that we are not in any of those states is a good news, and it's a great fortune that we have the opportunity to
to cultivate Dharma.
The fact that we are not born in the, you know, higher levels of existence we call the divine environments or in the celestial world is a fortune and is a great opportunity for us to cultivate Dharma. Now let me explain this a little bit more. What I mean by that is that if we had been born in any of the four formless stages or the levels of existence as celestial beings in those formless stages, let alone practicing Dharma, we may not even hear even a word of Dharma. So Dharma is completely lacking in those states of existence. Now let's imagine that we are born as divine beings or celestial beings in higher levels of form and desire realms of existence. But in that case, that we will be mostly kind of absorbed, if you will, into experiencing the pleasures of the celestial world. We get so sucked into that that we may not think about or even find an opportunity to cultivate Dharma. So the fact that we are not in those levels of existence means that we have an opportunity to cultivate Dharma. So the bottom line is this, that if, as we look at our present life and existence, you know, we have got the fortune and conducive, if you will, opportunities to be able to engage in the study and practice of Dharma. So we must all be able to recognize and appreciate our own good fortune. That we have this wonderful, you know, human existence, and that we have been able to, you know, develop interest in spirituality and direct our mind into, you know, spirituality. So given the opportunity we have now, it is important for us to engage in listening to teaching and contemplating, you know, the teachings. And it's not enough for us to simply listen to teachings, in which case we might learn things through hearing the teachings. Perhaps our understanding will be very much at what we call the levels of words or terminologies. And as you have heard Geshe-la use the word, that in which case it is like we may have developed a certain amount of intellectual understanding of Dharma. But that's really not our purpose of why we listen to teachings. Our purpose is to, you know, deeply understand the meanings of the teachings. And so for that, we really need to go beyond, you know, the words and the terms, terminologies. So we need to do the contemplation to get into the deep meanings of our teachings.
Kena peram tentu nyengi ke kasa tis, ini peram kita pusing ke, sumpati ini roh nyane, tu dewi nata kol gue je tewi, kar gue kena peram ke nyimbu ke tu gue arah bas, tu cah, ini cik tu anda dihiasi si nyamle masih na, peram ke sumpat nagi cahui aris, peram ke sumpai roh nyamba nagi cahui aris.
Now let me give you an example, you know, to explain, to make my points. So if we really want to taste, you know, sugar in the sugar cane, then if we simply bite just on the bark of a sugar cane or the skin of the sugar cane, we are really not going to get the real taste of a sugar cane, because the real taste of the sugar cane is inside the skin or the bark. So learning Dharma, or you know, through just words, at the level of the words and terminologies, is similar to biting on the bark of a sugar cane, but we are really not getting the real taste of a sugar cane.
Rota pun, dalam tensim jenis kanan tu. Jadi, roh perang roh, tiba-tiba roh tiba nyombe tu, tu ini, tu nangi kan? Ini cuci, si hebat sama mazie, tapi nyam selang betul. Ini tiba roh perang roh, muni tu ni ramai nangi cakap.
So, if we try to go beyond the words and terminologies, for that kind of intellectual understanding, and then try to really see, so to speak, the peel off the bark of a sugar cane, or remove the skin, and then really eat the inside of the sugar cane with the real taste of a sugar cane. Now that is likened to deeply contemplating the meanings of the teachings. So as we do that, then we really, I should say, get at the essence of the teachings. We are not just at the level of mere intellectualism or the words, but now we are much deeper. So that has to come through contemplation.
Well, when I was teaching you, I was teaching you, I was teaching you, I was teaching you,
So our purpose of you know, engaging in Dharma is, of course, we listen to teaching so that we are able to develop you know, certain understanding of the teaching, and then we have to contemplate the meaning of the teaching to really go into the deeper issues, if you will. And then as that deeper meaning is understood, we have to cultivate the Dharma or put it into practice. So therefore meditation is key to gaining experience into the teaching. So our purpose of participating in Dharma is to get a real taste of the Dharma, which has to come through this whole process of listening, contemplation, and meditation. So as we talk about practicing Dharma, what really involves is at a very you know, foundational you know, level, if you will, and it's actually more than at the foundational level, but at that very level, what's important for us is to abide by you know, a pure ethics, a codes of ethical behavior. Of course, there are different types of ethics we talk about in Buddhism, and even for regular lay practitioners who are not monastics, the basic ethics consists of you know, abiding by the ethics to refrain from or not to do the 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind. Then, of course, lay practitioners might have more than that ethics. You know, they might have taken bodhisattva ethics. They might have taken tantric ethics. So whatever levels of ethics that we have taken, it is you know, essential for us to keep our ethics intact. And so abiding by pure ethics, what is another important element that we should cultivate or have is faith. The Tibetan term is called teba, trust or faith. Faith and trust in, I'm using both words here just to convey the Tibetan meaning of the term, teba, in the teaching and in the teacher. And faith plays really a significant role in our spiritual cultivation and development. As Geshe-la quoted the stanza from his memory, which basically states that just as a mother's existence precedes the birth of a child, so does faith exist or precedes, you know, the generation of all kinds of remarkable qualities. So now we can understand the importance of faith in our spiritual growth.
So that rang chue duye dujig chue te yenda te rangil sheba 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 ani ta sheba sheba le ta sang tang te shi ti yapo yin ba ta ani rangil sheba tab she ni sheba tal chen ba de le tang he te ka se ngun de chi ta ka se ka res yu le yu pe ani yen te de rang ju le yu ani ngun de ka se den de ba sheba de le ngun de chi ta ka se.
There are different types of faith, deba in Tibetan, and there is what we call aspiring faith, ngwenjegi deba. What it really means is that as we study and engage in authentic spirituality or dharma, And Dharma has so many wonderful qualities, and as we aspire to cultivate those qualities in our own mind, that kind of aspiration, that kind of a trust that also comes to aspiration in the qualities is called aspiring faith.
Pena, maran so shamgra chidi tsani, sanji kunju chukunde gundu kunju ke, tujile yepe, ani yundi tsu tsamalu ta, rang da tumde shene, a teva sheva tele, ngunde chi teva se, sheyu ku jule yepe yundi tsu rang jule, toya ke, anda sanu tangni tele, teva sheva tele, ngunde chi teva sta, sevundu wate.
Let me give a very clear example here. Like when we take refuge in the three jewels, three ratnas, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and the three jewels have innumerable remarkable qualities, and our purpose of going for refuge in them is because basically we aspire the same qualities for ourselves. So we would like to have them. So with that kind of aspiration, when we cultivate faith in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, that kind of faith and aspiration, so to speak, combined, is what we call aspiring faith in the three jewels.
Hmm. Sanji the chu the gindi rang the reg the reaga sanotan tevashivatan mundi tevashta tniki resting san ngaba tangur stunjo.
So in other words, what I'm saying is that as we go for refuge in the three jewels, we aspire for the same qualities for ourselves that they have, which is in other words saying that one day I would just like to be a jewel like them. I would like to be among them. So with that kind of aspiration, when we cultivate faith in the three jewels, that is an aspiring faith, and we really do need to think about these things and cultivate aspiring faith.
Say you go into the train, is on the same pain when you're doing your water train, the same your water train. But that's so much, that never so much when you're doing the shirts on the neve. Sure, good day, you take good day, you toss not that, and down it have us in those things.
Now there is another kind of faith, we call it Tangwe Deba, which literally means clear faith. Now this is the kind of faith where we have this pure, if you like, admiration for the preeminent qualities such as those the three jewels have. You know, our state of mind is so pure and clean that we just have this awe and pure admiration in the qualities of the three jewels. So that is a clear faith. So if we have this complete trust in the Dharma that we are following, and we have really no doubt, we completely trust it with this pure state of mind, and so with such a trust, we think that, okay, one day I will be able to, gain all those realizations of Dharma. So that pure, pristine state of mind with complete trust in Dharma, for example, is an excellent example of clear faith. And then there is another kind of faith which is called Yiche Jiteba, which the Yiche means to trust, literally. So this is a faith in the form of conviction, that when we go for refuge in the three jewels, we have this conviction in ourselves that you see, trusting them completely in their abilities to, help me, therefore I go, I seek refuge in them. That kind of conviction, total has a trust in the qualities of three jewels is what we call Yiche Jiteba, faith as a conviction.
Yutela, 다 유 세유 컨디치 인네 세유 들라니 이치 데바 세비나 섭투 담두 산야다 지 윤딘데 두 예 메산야 탄섬데 테와기 부르거스
So if we were to cultivate faith as a conviction, Yichiji Deba, in whatever objects we go for refuge in, then there should not be even a slightest doubt in our mind that, or if I trust them in their abilities to help me, really would they be able to help or not? We should not have any that kind of a slight a doubt in our mind. We just completely, it's a total sort of a surrender, if you like, in our trust in the three jewels. So the way we grow spiritually is we have to understand Dharma and then cultivate Dharma in our mind. We have to do meditation, means cultivate Dharma in the mind, and it's through such meditational practice or cultivation that we should be able to realize Dharma qualities in our mind.
Tā gōngzhōng tēpē gōngzhōng kērē tē rāngzhī shēwā shēpā lā tī ngōngzhōng tē kārū gā nā sāngzhōng kērē tē ngōngzhō gō gō lē.
So in order to experience this what we call wisdom arising through meditation, that high level wisdom, it must be preceded by, well, what comes before that is cultivating wisdom arising through contemplation or samadhi.
That then they go sanjung ki khere de rangi le shewa shepa la kare gu zna tujung ki khere de hun go gu.
And in order to experience that kind of wisdom arising from contemplation, it should be preceded by, or what comes before that is wisdom arising through listening to teaching or hearing the teaching.
That tujung ki khere de shewa shepa la अनि चुल तसम गन चुल तसम छ अनि नेबा त चुल नेबा त अनि रंग लजो छ त नि चो छ त गो गो रे
सो how can we have wisdom arising through hearing is that of course we listen to dharma teachings but as well as that includes study of dharma by ourselves, studying Dharma scriptures on our own, or listening also more like listening to the teachings of Dharma.
That can be any two here, some be one be here, to do some of the Ranji Shiva Shivala, the Yid of Sayyid of Tata, Sidin Namata by Sosu Karina, Tasunja, Sidin the Yahweh Sungris, and he must think about the Guris.
So where does it all begin, if you ask, what is the foundation for, listening, contemplation and meditation, which are so important because each precedes the other, the preceding ones, like how the first we have to cultivate the wisdom arising through listening to teaching, then that gives rise to wisdom, arising from contemplation, that gives rise to wisdom arising from meditation. For all those things to happen, where do we all begin? What is the foundation, basis, if you wonder or ask? As I said before, the foundation consists of abiding by codes of ethical behavior or keeping our ethics intact.
Megiwele tetan ti yele shuna nyeba yeba ta hakoba sheni ta hakone yang tatan tindi yinlu san ta awt mendo san ni yele shuba yinna ta nyeba chenbu chagru chesue chesue ta chesue chesue ta nyeba chenbu chagru.
So what is involved in our ethical practice is not to do anything that is negative or negative karmas, which means that we have to understand negativities and their negative consequences. But if we somehow understand what negativity is and what kind of negative outcome it comes out, but somehow in our mind if we say that, okay, that's it, maybe it's not too bad to do this. And if we engage in a negativity, that gets really very serious negative action because we are undermining the I should say, the reality here that we knowingly somehow engage in a negativity just by kind of a giving ourselves some kind of a lame excuse. Maybe it is not too bad. It's okay, you know. So by doing that, we are undermining the reality of negativity, and that becomes a serious negative karmic action.
Something to
So as Geshe-la is saying in the word samshin, the chesha means samshin means knowingly, you know, and chesha means we underestimate or we underestimate it. So if we knowingly underestimate the reality and the significance of negativity and engage in it, then that really becomes a serious negativity. It's not like, the negativity as the toy that of a regular negativity. It's much more than that. Whether we listen to spiritual teachings such as the one I'm giving you now, or whether we are, studying Dharma or practicing it, it's very important for us to check every now and then whether our state of mind is compatible with, it is in harmony with, Dharma principles.
Rangi, namju rangi linga ke lu ta nga ke shawa shiye te tang, chui ni sungpa ni buti tungu duwe ta, ta ting takye shifuris.
In other words, what I'm saying is we need to, find out whether our usual actions of body, speech, and mind that we perform, whether they go, whether they accord with Dharma principles, whether they are in agreement, they agree with Dharma principles, they are harmonious with Dharma principles or not. That's what we have to find out. So as we examine our own actions of body, speech, and mind and see whether these match Dharma principles or not, if they do match, if they are compatible with Dharma, then that's wonderful. You know, there's really nothing to change here. On the other hand, if we find that our usual actions of body, speech, and mind, they do not match with Dharma principles, they mismatch, or they do not accord with, they are incompatible with the Dharma principle. Now, you see, that means we need to change our behaviors, or we are creating negativities. So if we do not examine our daily actions, right, we kind of, just go about our lives just the usual way, then what really happens is we get so habituated in the way we behave, we say things or we think about, that once it really becomes a very bad habit, and then, the things really don't get better. See, so that negative habit is something we really need to think about, and so we need to examine our daily life and actions to see whether our actions match with Dharma or not. If they don't, we need to modify our actions. So as Dharma practitioners, we need to examine our own actions in everyday life to see whether they accord with Dharma or not, and see whether we need to change our behaviors or not. And also, we need to make earnest, you know, prayers, you know, in that regard. And we should sincerely pray that may I be able to direct my mind into Dharma. That means bring my mind and Dharma into one, together. And may I be able to, you know, how should I say, transform, you know, the, my spirituality into spiritual path. May Dharma be able to change into spiritual path. May I not be able to face any obstacles or interruptions on the way to cultivate a spiritual path. So we should make those wonderful prayers also as we, you know, we also engage in actions.
Now,
why we need to do that, why we need to modify our behaviors, why we need to make those prayers is because, as I gave you that example about the sugar cane and getting the real taste of the sugar cane. Now, that example comes from a sutra. So we do not want simply to bite on the skin or the bark of a sugar cane, you know. We do want to, you know, get the real taste of the sugar cane. If that's what we want, then we really need to, how should I say, we need to both study and practice. So as practitioners, you know, we should see that we are engaging in Dharma as Dharma or pure Dharma, not that we get caught up with, how should I say, at a certain superficial level, like just we are biting on the skin of the sugarcane bark, and then as if that's enough, but we really need to get into the real essence of sugarcane. In other words, the point I'm trying to make here is, you know, we should engage in pure practice of Dharma and do not be satisfied with, of course, or get stuck with reflections of a Dharma, appearances of a Dharma. You know, just don't get caught up with look alike, you know, kind of look like we are a Dharma practitioner or look like what we are doing is Dharma. Look like is not good enough. You know, just don't get caught up with the superficiality, the appearance, external version of the Dharma. So as much as we really emphasize the importance of practicing Dharma, cultivating Dharma, that's how we, you know, get the real taste of the Dharma. Now the question is, you know, when do we do that? Well, we have to do it, you know, from now and whenever we could have time, because we cannot postpone our practice for some other time, because life is uncertain. Right now, this very moment, we are all very, you know, fortunate to be here together, you know. But once we get dispersed today, we don't know tomorrow if any of us will be, still be alive or gone. So life is very uncertain, and we might lose the whole opportunity to cultivate Dharma.
I think you should remember
my hustle and bustle here. So when we are alive, just don't get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life, you know, as if we are so busy running around and being in a hustle and bustle that we don't find time to do Dharma.
So
I have really give serious thought to these things, and I thought sharing these things before I go back to the text are important for all of us. You know, as I talk about these things, you know, I'm also, you know, telling myself the same thing that I'm telling you. We all need to do this. I just don't mean that you need to do that, and as if I don't. You know, we all need to do these things, and we need to think about these things. Let's return to our text where we left off a couple of weeks ago. Now going back to this wonderful text called, you know, Personal Advices from Kadampa Geshe, and here, you know, Geshe Tenpa means the teacher Dorje Tenpa was asked a question by an upasaka. Upasaka is a lay person with lay person's vows. It's not just a regular lay person, but somebody with a lay person's vows. So an upasaka asked him, said, if we do not, you know, I should say, have our mind being separated from love, compassion, and bodhicitta. If we have our mind, you know, with love, compassion, bodhicitta, then wouldn't you say so that we have created a cause that either directly or indirectly take care of the betterment of sentient beings? In other words, what we're saying is that if we have in our mind love, compassion, and bodhicitta, isn't it the case that we are creating causes to benefit sentient beings either directly or indirectly? Of course, here in the text, the question was asked by an upasaka to Dorje Tenpa, but we have to really think like, I mean, the relevance of that to ourselves, you know.
That's Shambhata. Nanji Shambhata, Shambha Gombhata, Hingi Gombhata. Sanji Sem Gombhata, Nizu Kichin Tsachmu Chagyo. Then this is the Madeda, Tunzu Shambha Gombhata, Hingi Gombhata, Sanji Semta, Randil Yabhata, Madeda, Ani gushu jisun ani singi yendun shi yata gushimbo chagres mariba shun ta tig ta tembe ndusin ta re ma lend nang dos.
So as we know, you know, how important it is for us to cultivate love, compassion, and bodhicitta in our mind. So if we cultivate those things in our mind, and if our mind is not separated from them, then the question being asked is, you know, aren't we creating causes to benefit sentient beings all the time, whether directly or indirectly? So now the Geshe Tenpa gives his response.
Yendun Pusun Topan Jung Ju Yimba Achang Chetis, Nanzu in Achang Chang Sigur, that don't say Achang Chetis. He in the instant.
And here, Dorje Tenpa answers, he said, of course, Achang Che means, you know, for sure, you know, of course, you know, if you, our mind is not separate from them, I mean, of course, that we are, you know, creating causes to benefit sentient beings. But we are doing more than that, actually. So when we cultivate those attitudes in our mind, not only are we benefiting other sentient beings, but there's something more. We are also, you see, doing the best for ourselves too. You see, we're also taking care of the betterment of our own interests as well.
So
So if people ask, okay, how is that? How do we take care of our own betterment and interests by cultivating love, compassion, and bodhicitta? Now, what does that mean, taking care of our own interests as well? So here the great Dhamma says, if we cultivate love, compassion, and bodhicitta in our mind, if our mind is never separated from them, then we ourselves will never be reborn in the unfortunate state of existence. So what that means is that if we truly have those attitudes in our, in our mind, we become a bodhisattva. So, bodhisattvas, may be reborn in the unfortunate states of existence, but it is not, it's more by choice. You see, they take rebirth in the unfortunate states of existence, by the power of their love and compassion and prayers. So it's just by choice they may be reborn in the unfortunate states.
Nature wants Sigmaris.
And not by karma.
That's it. That's it. And tā rāndu yupusu sāpa tīk chī, tā tīk kārē sā na tā tā nī nī sā pē shāmbā jīmbu dā nī jīmbu sā, shāngyū sā rāngyū sā shēpa sāṁ shī sā shēpa nī nī sā tā zhūng tē sā shir mā dōpa hēzhār tūp sā shir mā dōpi tā shāngyū sā mā sā na shir mā dōpi nē tā shir mā dōpi nā tā kō shirma dhopa shaur dhupsi dhan shirma dhopa sindi, shirma dhopa tali niyar dha kuala shirma dhopa tali dhan ene shirma dhopi shangyu simbasi dha tali ki kuzhu indi wa
shirma
dhopa shangyu simbasi dhan kare zi kuwa li penan dhiri dha, soshi shirma dhopa sindi
and so not only that we will not be reborn in the unfortunate states with great love, great compassion, and bodhicitta, but through developing such attitudes, we could become bodhisattvas who are categorized or labeled as non-returner, somebody who don't return. Now, what does that mean, non-returner? It could be understood in a number of ways, like those who do not come back to samsara, or in this particular case, it means we could become transcendental bodhisattvas, not just an ordinary being anymore. We could, transcendental bodhisattvas. We call Arya bodhisattvas.
And
Dom Dompa goes on to say that even if one were to be reborn in the unfortunate states, well, due to certain factors such as one has created this tremendous negativity in the past, but that negativity is so powerful that somehow it throws one into the bad migration, or it is due to some circumstantial unavoidable conditioning factor that throws us into a bad migration, even though we cultivate those positive attitudes. But the fact of the matter is, once we remember great love, great compassion, bodhicitta in the bad migration, we will be liberated just in no time from such a such states.
Smurge leg wonky that Namiki Nomina. That you become top tabby in there. And the Namak laying and but stoppy, Namiki knows the day on the Minguaris.
I think it's important for us to understand the theoretical, you know, how to say, adage to understanding here what we're talking about right now. It's possible that, so even if one is highly realized, but due to the remnant of serious negative action or karma from the past, one could be experiencing certain negative consequences. That is a possibility, theoretically. So we got to understand that theoretical adage here. And even such a case, you see, you know, if we once, as we remember, because in that case, it's like, you know, how somebody has become an arahat or arahant, meaning somebody is theoretically liberated from samsara, but due to the remnant of certain negative karmas from the past, they have to experience certain negative outcomes of those remnants of the negative karmas.
Ani kisui sin degu gu amar, jen kiki zang song duwa. Kiki ma kik tenpa zang jis ta. Ani ki shamba zang yi zi pe yang kulu koru daga tsem ni tenpa zang jis. Ani nye song nin tagu riz ka nang duwa.
So should it happen that one were to be reborn in a bad migration because of a certain remnant of the negative strong karmas from the past or due to some unavoidable circumstantial factor, but as one remembers great love, great compassion and bodhicitta in a bad migration, is it as if instantaneously, in no much time, one could be liberated from such state of existence, and one could achieve fortunate rebirths as you know, humans and celestial beings. So the point being made is that sometimes certain strong negative karmas, you know, consequences are totally unavoidable. They are so intense, and they may bring their results. But because of great love, great compassion, bodhicitta, we do not have to experience their negative consequences for a long time, which usually is the case. You know, you don't have to go for eons, eons going through suffering. You don't have to go through even months or years, or even an hour or two. Just it's like momentarily, as we remember love, compassion, and bodhicitta, great love, great compassion, that's the understanding, we could be liberated right away from such
states of existence.
There are, you know, statements being made about the law of karmas. As it is said in a Buddhist literature, that it may be possible for the planets such as sun and moon to fall down on the earth. That may be a possibility, but nobody can change, the relationship between the negative outcomes and negative karmic actions, or for that matter, the positive outcomes and the positive karmic actions. Nobody can interfere and change that kind of a relationship between, you know, karmic actions and their results. And so therefore, you see, once we create a negative karma, for example, if we do not purify that negative karma, then it is for certain that that negative karma will bring its negative ripening result. Nobody can change that. Nobody can interfere into that matter.
So,
now, don't get me wrong here, as we cannot do anything with negative karmas. That is not the point. The point we miss, if we create negativities, of course, however strong and intense negative karmas one has created, it is very possible to purify that negative karma, you see, through purification practice. So that is very much there. We could bring about a change in that way, but if we do not apply antidotes to negative karmas to be purified, then nobody can do anything with the outcomes of the negative karma. They are sure to come.
So the leche namite leche number means sane to zoj me permato mami gol so si yagwa shin na to taji yabat sungu ya ta.
So in essence, what I just explained is this, that once we create, for example, a negative karma, however strong it is, before it produces its ripening result, which is going to be negative for sure, we could purify our negative karma, which means we do not need to necessarily experience its negative outcome. Now, that is a great news and that is a possibility. But if we do not purify our negativity, then as it ripens upon us, when the result is being right here under our nose, so to speak, nobody can change that. We have to just go through it. As we do our practice, or when we say we practice Dharma, that involves two actions. Action number one, we need to accumulate merit and wisdom. That is called Choksa, accumulation practice. The second action is called purification action, where we need to purify. In the first place, we should not do negativities, but if we happen to do them, we need to purify our negativities. So basically, our practice consists of two actions: accumulate merit and wisdom, purify negativities.
That choice, I say, because you may hear me,
So as I was explaining some other day, that when we talk about choksa, means accumulation practice, do the accumulation practice, accumulation consists of two types of accumulation. And when we talk about purification of practice, purification consists of purifying two types of mental obscuration.
That thing is so. So number one is so. You see, so side. And the other one is so. So side.
And so basically what we're saying, that when we talk about accumulation practice, there are two types of accumulation. Accumulation of merit, sonam in Tibetan, sonam jitok, as a matter of fact, and accumulation of wisdom, yishe jitok. Those are the two types of accumulation or collection, as we would sometimes translate them. Then when we talk about purification practice, there are two types of mental obscurations to be purified. There is what we call the delusive obscuration or delusions called nyuntib, and then there is the obscuration to omniscience called shetib. So those are the two types of mental obscurations that need to be purified. So from what we just learned from the great Domtamba's response to the Upasaka is that even if we say we have not developed really great love, great compassion, and bodhicitta deeply inside our mind, but if we do think about these things in our everyday thoughts, and if we do remember great love, great compassion, bodhicitta, just as a thought in our mind, even those are so powerful that they can liberate us right away from bad migration.
Mm.
So what do we mean by great compassion? I think, you know, many of you know this already, but for the sake of new people here, in case there are new people here, that by great compassion, or Nying Chi Chenpo in Tibetan, Mahakaruna in Sanskrit, what we mean is that, you know, we think about all sentient beings who constitute our focus or the object of compassion. So the object of compassion includes every sentient being. Nobody is there to be left out. And then we wish all sentient beings to be free from suffering and its causes. So the subjective aspect of this compassion is wishing everybody to be free from suffering. Okay. So when we cultivate such an attitude or thought, we think about that thought, compassionate thought. We may not have the real compassion in the mind, but we cultivate the compassionate thought, great compassionate thought in the mind, that how nice it would be if sentient beings are free from suffering. Right? Now in this case, we literally mean sentient beings. We don't have enemies and strangers and friends to deal with, right? Everybody is sentient being. So we wish them to be free from suffering. Even that kind of compassionate thought is so liberating. It could liberate us from a bad migration.
So then, when you want to be saying, "Ran dunga nyom," so then, "Ta ran dunga nyom," but now you get sentient thing you do. That sentient thing you do is the ten. Che maru sambe shevi na. Lansa nyom ante lansa thayong.
So if we are, if we find ourselves in the hell, and then there are, of course, other hell beings around us, and everybody is suffering like, you know, suffering like a hell, or if they're suffering in hell. And now somehow we develop compassionate thought that how nice it would be if all others do not have to experience this suffering and, you know, be free. That kind of compassionate thought, it can liberate us from the from hell.
That thing that you get, and you wonder that you don't have to say even any things will be deva you are married. That things will deva that then came around some
Somebody And then in the bad migrations, especially in hells, in the hungry ghost world, and in the lesser animal world, you know, the beings do not have, you know, happiness. There's so much suffering, no happiness. Now, if we sincerely cultivate the thought of love, how nice it would be if these beings are endowed with happiness or find happiness, then that kind of, you know, thought of love can liberate us from such bad migration. So we need to turn our mind, you know, to have such thoughts of great love and great compassion, you know, even if it means on the surface of our mind. You know, we remember them every day and now and then as we, you know, how to say, train our mind to remember them so well, then we could easily remember those thoughts. And great Dongtenpa quotes stanzas from Bodhisattva Mahasattva Shantideva's Guide to Bodhisattva's Way of Life called Chunju, Engaging in Deeds. And of course these stanzas are quoted you know, often, and we find them quoted in the Lamrim treatises as well. Lamrim is the stages of path to enlightenment. And here, the Chunju quotes began with, Jigen Tewa Chinyeba, whatever happiness is there in the universe or the world, Tegun Shende Deolichu, all that comes from wishing others to be happy.
That thing I dunghe, getting like dunghe condition shown you any, huh? Some alone, they could run the delusion, run devan devani, that run kinsin ten sumer is canon.
And then it continues, Jigden Tungen Chinyeba, whatever suffering exists in the universe or the world, that comes from, you see, wishing just oneself to be happy. In other words, every suffering in the world comes from our self-centeredness, selfishness.
That is untongres. So no matter na ko kareze. Kareze na rale, dewan dene ye, ane chedu sayungres.
So we really need to do a lot of thinking about this to understand the imports or the meanings of these lines. Right? How is that true? So when we are so preconcerned with our own selfish interests, right, then we do so many things wrong and bring harm to others.
Ran devan deni yin sauti. Ran devan deni yin sa kumaku. Ran devan deni yin tewashu loyimshi.
For the sake of one's own self-interest, we could go to the extent of killing someone, if that means killing someone will fulfill my own needs, you know, selfish interest. In order to fulfill one's selfish interest, we go to the extent of stealing from others. In order to, you know, fulfill one's selfish interest, we go and engage in adultery, and so on and so forth, all kinds of negativities. You know, to fulfill one's selfish happiness, we go and deceive and cheat others. You know, to fulfill one's selfish, happiness, we go and cause disharmony among other people. And in order to fulfill one's selfish happiness, we and go and indulge in idle gossiping. And for the same goal, we go and, speak harsh words against others. And for with the same goal, hidden agenda, or not even hidden, we go and we kind of covet for others' goods. And in order to fulfill one's selfish happiness, you know, we even hold very dearly this, you know, feeling to hurt and harm others. And for one's selfish happiness or gains, we go and engage in the wrong views and distorted views.
Oh, that the day is on that. Ran devan doni ta yin chedu se ne ti wangute ran dunhi di mamu jongres.
So in that and in many other ways, that just to fulfill one's selfish happiness or self-interest, we just can go into to all extent to engage in all kinds of negativities which are harmful to others.
Oh, nice. That's it. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Mando here that kishi gus. But mango here go ahead, mando sumare. Mando here go ahead, mando kare sir. Shiva rang tanda singi tata.
And then the stanza continues here. It says, Mangsa Sheba Chishuku, what need there is more to talk about? Just look at Chiba Rangdun Sheda, Tuba Shenzhe Zeba. Just look at how childish sentient beings are so preoccupied with their self-interest and how Buddha's enlightened beings have benefited or worked for the benefit of others. Just look at the difference between Buddhas working for others and childish sentient beings working only for their self-interest. And as I explained this before, quoting lines from Guru Puja or Lama Sherpa, we also talk where the lines do highlight the difference between ourselves as ordinary sentient beings and enlightened beings of the Buddhas. So Buddhas have dedicated themselves for the benefit of other sentient beings, and where do we find them? They are in the Buddha fields, pure environments. So where do we find ourselves, ordinary sentient beings, who have worked so tirelessly and for our own selfish interests? We are stuck in samsara. We are in samsara and we are stuck here. And so that difference itself should tell us, you know, tell us what we should be doing. So with those quotations and explanation, Great Dhammadhamma tells or concludes that part of the Rasma was saying that therefore, he said, cultivating great love, great compassion and bodhicitta are the primary causes to benefit, to fulfill great purposes for the sake of both self and others. So those positive attitudes, great love, great compassion, bodhicitta, these all need to be and should be cultivated in relation to, with reference to sentient beings. By recognizing that every sentient being is you know, provides us the basis for cultivating love, compassion, and bodhicitta, we need to respect every sentient being. And I don't think we do this, but that, you know, if we go on a very ego trip, right, you know, I am the one, and I am the better one, and I know this, and, you know, when we end up looking down upon others, you know, such attitudes, you know, become an obstacle for cultivating great love, great compassion for other sentient beings. So if we ask ourselves what should be the, our core you know, meditational practices or core things to be meditated upon, so our cores here constitute great love, great compassion and bodhicitta.
So that shambha chenpa dhe nyi chenpa shangji sem rangi li yuabi yina ta di sumbu dhe gyani sosyo yini tiba chenpa lamna yandu shi nangyo ta.
So if we cultivate great love, great compassion and bodhicitta in our minds, then these attitudes lead us into the path of Mahayana leading to complete enlightenment.
Ta kanji kumbha thoba sheba la ta tiba chenpa lamna
If one wants to become an enlightened being or a Buddha, then one must follow and cultivate the path of Mahayana. And there is no second path leading to enlightenment. One, you know, so in order to become a Buddha, one must cultivate the Mahayana path.
Yes. That didn't take you
years. Yes. And we will stop there today and we will stop there today and I have you know, some announcements and prayer requests. So I'll do the prayer request first for those who have passed away. And the names I have been given are Lauren Grant Hilliard, 90 years old, passed away. Simon Lau, 34 years old. And if you have been following the news, you know, because of that non-violent pro-democracy, you know, protest by led by the monks, hundreds of monks in Burma, so according to the reports, 9 have been killed. That included several monks, but there could be more than 9. We are talking about the junta regime, you know, who controls every news. So we think about those who have been killed, you know, in this peaceful demonstration in Burma. and we have prayer requests for the and also Nick Umadikov passed away too. So we pray for them. And then I have few names who are dealing with health issues. Henry Anthony Ortega, 11 years old, and he's really dealing with a brain tumor here. And also Ken Nguyen, Ethan, who's a very baby and may not live, he's got a brain damage. Diana Matthews, and then of course again in the non-violent peaceful demonstrations, Burma, many people got injured and and imprisoned. We have to think about them as well. So those are the prayer requests, and now I have brief announcements here. As you leave the TDL in the lobby, you will find some handouts there from Annie. So the requests are that ICT, International Campaign for Tibet, would like to ask everyone, if you could, you know, write to our representatives, you know, senators and congressmen, to thank them, those who supported is awarding the Congressional Gold Medal to His Holiness the Dalai Lama. So write letters to thank them for their support. The second one is on October 17th, His Holiness will be awarded the Congressional Gold Medal, you know, in the Capitol Rotunda, led by Nancy Pelosi and President Bush will be there. And then that will be at about 1. And then at 2:30, His Holiness will give a free public address on the west lawn of the White House. And so there's a big, event being organized by ICT. And so that involves a lot of expenses. You know, they have to raise a lot of money to pay for the security, for the, you know, sound system, and you just name it, you know. And it's a big celebration. So ICT would appreciate if we could make any donations, you know, towards that. And if people are interested in making donations for ICT, our suggestion is you could write a check to TDL, but in the memo, you can endorse it for the ICT Gold Medal Celebration event. And then TDL will, you know, send all of those checks or write a big check on our behalf so that we are represented well in that. And so people, what is it? I think the Tibetans and friends everywhere in the world will be celebrating this event in many, in big ways. Yeah. By the power of collective merit that we have generated together this morning, may Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness, flourishes throughout the world. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy masters live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. So we, in short, we dedicate our marriage for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Sanjishuna.
Ronoski.